Hey, welcome to the Poser Podcast.
What up?
My name is Ian Campbell, and I'm here with
Benjamin Beam
and our very good friend.
Oops, wait, I gotta wait for you to say. Oh, I'm Hayden Montgomery. Man, I was so gonna rock that, and I just ruined it. Can we record again? Re-record.
No, we're taking that.
I gotta say though,
edit that out.
That was a that's perfect intro for you. It could not be better.
No.
We're here with our good buddy Hayden Montgomery.
Yeah,
and we've known Hayden for
quite a long time.
Yeah, good while.
Yeah, it's been. You know what year was High School Musical 2? That was in 2010.
That was 2009, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like spring of 2009.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that was a little while ago, man. You and I have known each other since like 2006.
Yeah, you guys knew each other before we knew each other.
I remember the auditions at High School Musical 2. Ian scared me the first time I saw him. I was like,
that happens to a lot of people. I don't understand.
But, you know, once you started talking to me, I felt, you know, more comfortable.
Like I wasn't like, going to okay, kill you?
He wasn't going to kill me.
But you did. Wasn't that when you liked to wear your hair in a ninja ponytail?
Yeah.
When?
I think that was.
Remember you had your hair long and you would wear it in like a, what do they call them? The ninja ponytails?
Wait, what show was this?
Wasn't that High School Musical 2?
No, that was Les Mis.
Oh.
Was that Les Mis?
Yeah.
But I wasn't in Les Mis.
Did I wasn't I do it in more Les Mis either.
You remember that,
my
right?
My hair was short in High School Musical 2.
Okay, it's all coming back to me now. You know, he didn't have the ponytail in High School Musical 2.
Maybe I'm thinking of Les Mis.
What are you thinking of, Ben? I miss that hair so bad.
That was pretty rocking.
Yeah. I want to grow it out again, guys.
I still say your baby pompadour is the best, though.
I like it. I like it now. I like the wave you got going on.
You like it?
Yeah.
It's getting back to the whatever you just called it.
The baby pompadour.
That thing. Apparently, that's what
the
it was called before.
Baby pompadour. That's good.
Yeah.
I like that. I'm going to have to use that.
that's a good hairstyle.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've been talking about my hair for a good minute and a half now.
Yeah.
Oh, I just say, I shaved my head this summer. And I'm never doing that again. I regretted that.
Yeah, you were
completely bald. And I had a beard. Like, I was growing out the beard, and I decided, oh, hey, a shaved head would look good. I looked like a convict. my mom was like, did you, escape from prison? You know, prison break? It's like, oh.
Wait, did you mean to make your head look like that?
I was trying to shorten it really short, like have, like, a buzz kind of feel to it, and the razor got away from me. And I made a slight mistake, and so I had to correct it by shaving my head completely.
Oh.
And so I was like, forgive me. Tried to, like,
awesome.
Put the hair back on my head. I was like, no.
Glue it.
No.
It's not going. Glue it, but all you had was a little stick glue that doesn't work.
But I must say, I'm glad I'm getting to, talk to you guys finally since we've been, planning on doing this for like,
for like forever.
We're going to have you on the show. All right. Not tonight. All right. When? Next week? Sure. Not tonight.
Not next week. Yeah. Sorry.
But
sorry about
I
this.
I know y'all are busy guys and, we're all busy.
Yeah.
But, the thing that brought my attention to was I saw, I think it was Jackie Tello's husband, Carlos. He sent you a text, and I was like, yeah, they promised I was, like, right on, Carlos.
Yeah.
I told you it wasn't just you.
Yeah. I have to admit, I was feeling a little left out. I was like, they're having guests on their show.
I'm still over here.
Well, as you all might have guessed, we've all done theater together, and that's how we met and got to be friends and stuff. And Hayden is... this is kind of a segue. Hayden is an aspiring actor / filmmaker as far as that's what his dreams and his passions are. So this might be like that was a terrible, I just made like.
I looked at you, I was like, he's having problems with his words.
Having a stroke over there.
Started like 10 words all at once.
You kind of gassed like.
Slow down, enunciate.
Think about the word before you say it.
We might have like kind of a conjunction of two topics to talk about. One of them being, film and acting, and you know, like as far as what is a faith-based approach to that, or what is, you know, like what we've talked about, basically our conversations that we've had.
Yeah.
You know, the role of, you know, Christian actors and Christian filmmakers, and how can we do that better, you know, without, nothing against people that are already doing it, but how can we make faith-based movies, inspiring movies, uplifting movies that make people feel better, make them think about existence, you know, yeah. make them think about what it is to be alive, what it is to love other people, without having to be overtly Christian. Not that there's anything wrong with that,
yeah,
except that
not.
It tends to turn people off.
Yeah, it you know, you're right. It definitely, you know, it, you know, this day and age, anybody claims to be a Christian. So I mean, just, you know, he's saying, "Yo, you go to church? Yeah, I'm a Christian." That's their, you know,
yeah.
answer to everything. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, that's great. But it's a little more than that, than just going to church and saying I believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
Sure. But you know, and in the theater, you know, going to doing acting and filmmaking, you deal with a lot of actors that you know, I mean, you know, I'm not beating around the corner, but I mean, you deal with homosexuality, you know, you deal
yeah.
with a lot of confused people that don't know the Lord, and they, you know, truly believe that they were born this way, and that they're, you know, that that's just the way it is. There's no,
yeah,
there's nothing you can say. That's just how they say that they were born that way.
And like you said, you deal with a lot of people that think because they go to church that they're, you know, automatically, you know, they label themselves Christians, but they're not necessarily Christ followers. And like, that's
right.
been my experience a lot, has been just people that, you know, they're just church kids,
mm-hmm.
but they're not on fire about anything. You know, they're just kind of apathetic.
Yeah. This is the part where I'm supposed to say something.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, I don't know. Like, we all three of us, I mean, obviously we did theater because that's how we met, like, all of us. Well, except I met you somewhere else, but
yeah,
you being Ben. But, so, I mean, we've all had those different conversations with, like, what you guys were just talking about with the homosexuality and stuff like that. Like, And it really, really sucks, because nowadays, like you were talking about, you guys were talking about in, like, the faith-based film genre and theater, faith-based theater and stuff like that. Really, Christians in media in general get a really bad rap nowadays.
Yeah, right.
With the people just assuming that. Like, I heard on a podcast yesterday, someone talking about some Christian something in Hollywood, and they said they didn't like the guy because he hates gay people. And then they went on, and I was like, oh, well, that sucks. I wish Christians wouldn't make claims like that. It just ruins it for everyone, you know, ruins it
right.
for all of us. But then they went on to talk about him, and he never said that. He just said that he was a Christian, and he had Christian values and morals, and
yeah.
said something along the lines of since I'm a Christian, you know, I don't necessarily believe that what they're doing is right, but I can't tell them what to do. You know,
yeah,
we're, you know, we're all our own people. We can't make those kind of calls for other people.
Right.
And that's all he said. But because he said he was a Christian and that he followed the moral doctrine, if you will, of Christianity, they just assumed that he hates
gay people.
Gay
media
people.
Ate that up, I bet.
Yeah. Oh no, it was, you know, like, and it sucks because that's not what he said, and that's not how we as Christians feel. I have gay friends today, you know.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
You know, I don't as just as much, and people get offended when Christians say stuff like this because they misunderstand it, but I don't have to support your belief system or your lifestyle in order to love you or be your friend.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I don't.
And that's across the board to anything.
Yeah, to anything.
Right.
Like, I've had friends in work situations and stuff like that who are, didn't believe what I believe. Jehovah's Witnesses, Muslims, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I met an Indian guy the other day and what is that? Hindu? I think it's Hinduism.
Yeah.
And you know, he we had a great conversation. You know, I made a new friend. And I don't remember his name. But that's a whole different problem that revolves around me. Yeah. But like, you know, it bothers me so much because that I feel like that really only happens that bad with Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't hear any people getting mad at, well, you do hear about people getting mad at Muslims for blowing stuff up because those are the radicals.
They really need to quit that.
Yeah, you know, but those are, like, I'm not saying that every Muslim does that. Those are the radicals.
Those
we
are
have
the radicals.
Radical Christians. They're called the KKK, you know, and stuff like that. And, you know, not just the KKK, but the organizations and stuff like that. The Baptist church who pickets
they pick it at the funeral.
Funeral
grounds.
Yeah. What's
they petition? Hang signs or hold out signs that say God's not weeping for you.
Yeah.
And or just hateful
things.
How is that even?
They're not even a church. They claim to be a church. I don't believe for one second they're a church.
I don't either. Not even almost.
They're a cult.
Yeah.
And so, the thing that bothers me about today, you know, in society today, is people get highly offended about every single thing.
Yeah.
Like, they get offended. And I don't think that they're actually getting offended. I think they're just wanting to start something.
Yeah.
Like,
I was kind of going to say that, too. Like, the America that we're growing up in right now and that we're living in is, it's so overly politically correct. Like, there's politically correct, and then we've already passed that point to where it's become like a crime against humanity to offend someone.
Yeah. Right.
And that is absolutely wrong. Offenses are just natural. It's a part of nature.
Yeah.
Should you intentionally offend someone? No. But if something you say happens to offend someone, so be it.
Yeah.
Big whoop. People have been offending each other for thousands of years. Get over it.
I mean,
they're not forcing you to believe it.
You look at Jesus's, you know, Jesus offended people.
Yeah.
I mean,
a lot. Yeah.
He allotted, I mean, that's, I mean, they crucified him.
That's
because
why they did. Yeah.
He offended people.
Yeah. And just, I mean, I say, you know, I quote my favorite comedian, he says, when people get offended, put a helmet on, you big babies. Like,
yeah.
There are too many, like, I mean, and I would like to think of myself as a sensitive guy and an understanding and compassionate guy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, come on. I'm not that sensitive. I mean, you can't let if you're going to let every single thing offend you, then you might as well just stay home and not, not socialize with anybody.
There's no place for you in the world.
I mean,
Yeah.
It bugged me. And, sorry, you about to say something?
I was just going to say, like, what it is to me, what it becomes is then, like, if you say something, you know, you're not intentionally being offensive. You're simply stating a worldview, a belief, an opinion even.
Yeah.
You're stating that. You're throwing that out into the open. And immediately, you know, people jump on it and attack it. Then that's intolerance in the name of tolerance. Like, they're attacking you for not being tolerant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But their intolerance of your, quote, unquote, intolerance.
It's circular reasoning.
Is intolerant.
Yeah.
It just it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Intolerance in the name of tolerance. And I'm like, you're not.
That doesn't make any sense.
I'm not going to tolerate your intolerance.
Yeah. Like, you hypocrite.
If you're truly intolerant, you wouldn't say anything at all.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're truly tolerant, you wouldn't say anything
at
all.
Yeah. You'd be like, all right, well, that's your opinion.
That's your opinion. That's fine. Whatever.
I don't think they get the word tolerant.
I don't think that's what I was about to say, too. It's kind of funny. You said exactly what I was about to say.
Yeah.
It's the definition of tolerance has changed.
Yeah.
It hasn't changed. It's been changed. It's it doesn't mean the same thing it used to.
Yeah.
It, like, you know, like what you just said, like, tolerance, what tolerance means is
agree to disagree.
Yeah. Is agree to disagree. Now they're changing the definition of tolerance to acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
They're two different things.
If you don't agree, you're intolerant.
Exactly. If you don't accept what I believe, then you're intolerant. If you don't agree with it and tell me that it's right,
They like to use the word ignorant a lot. I don't think half, you know, most of our generation knows what that word means either. They keep on saying, oh, you're so ignorant. You know, you're ignorant. You're so ignorant. And I was like, give me the definition of that word.
And please use correct grammar when you say it.
Yeah.
You is.
You ignorant. That's ignorant. What I hear a lot.
You is ignorant.
Ignorant.
I'm just like, no. Well, how about we use smaller words like stupid?
Words we know the meaning.
Yeah.
So.
How about you?
Dumb.
Just,
yeah. I guess that was a big. We just kind of all jumped
rant.
On that wagon.
Yeah.
We're all theater guys. That's what we had to do.
But to bring it back around to like faith-based entertainment, like my opinion on that and my, you know, dream personally, you know, is to, to put something out. I may only put, you know, one thing out in my lifetime as far as like a, you know, an independent film or whatever,
yeah. mm-hmm.
or write a play or something. But what I want to do as a writer, you know, when I start writing novels and things like that, or as a filmmaker or whatever, is like my life goal when it comes to creating something is to create a story that causes people to think about their own existence. Like that's mm-hmm. that's what's most important to me is I want them to question their existence, because when you start to question your existence, you start to look for answers.
Yeah.
And when you start to look for answers, you're in a very, very good place, because yeah. then you're pretty much open to anything. And that's when, you know, I believe that people that are truly open for the truth, when they let their guard down yeah. and let their biases down and their long-held beliefs and everything, when they let all that slip away and they just want to know what's true, I believe God steps in at that moment
yeah.
and reveals himself to them. And whether or not they accept him, that's up to them, and many times they don't. But I believe when people genuinely and honestly just want to know what's true,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
then God honors that, you know, whether they're a believer or not, you know, he'll yeah. step in and reveal himself and give
yeah.
them the opportunity. So that's why I want to create things that are not so overtly Christian, not because I have a problem with that necessarily. Sometimes I do, but not because I'm ashamed, just because I don't think it's always effective.
Yeah.
Like I think a more effective approach will be to entertain people.
Yeah.
To appeal to their humanity. Like
yeah.
to appeal to what they already know about themselves, and that is that they are alive and that they are human.
Right.
And what do we know besides that? You know, when you break it all down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, we know we're here. We know we're human. Now, what do we do with that? How did we get here?
Yeah.
What are we supposed to do?
Right.
You know, and that's what, those are the questions I want to make people ask themselves and trust God to do the rest.
Yeah.
I think that's a great tactic to use. And, you know, I'm going to jump on something that's kind of touchy with a lot of, you know, theater people and, you know, filmmakers, but you know, Les Mis came out. And a lot of, you know, tons of people went to go see the movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, I went to go see it. I saw it twice. And it, I know the story's about redemption
mm-hmm.
and a man trying to find redemption, but a lot of people get that confused with having that be like salvation. And they say, oh, you know, that shows what salvation is. And I have to disagree because first of all, Jesus is never mentioned once in that entire play.
Yeah.
yeah.
That it's just a man regretting what he's done in the past and trying to correct it on his own, and getting a priest to say that he saved his soul for God. That's, you know, that's Catholic views.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So those things don't mix. And so when I see people on Facebook that are like, oh, Les Mis is so, you know, it shows God's, you know, love and salvation. I'm just like, y'all are, you
yeah.
is ignorant.
yeah.
I was like, you don't, you know, it's sad because I see people that I go to church with write this. And
yeah.
And you know, I don't want to sound like I'm a, you know, theologian, which, you know, or like I have my master's in, you know, Mid-America. But I mean,
yeah.
I've just, you know, I've read God's word. You know, I know the gospel. And, you know, I have to have the gospel, I have to preach the gospel with me almost every single day because I become apathetic to it. You know, it's easy for us Christians to become apathetic to the word when we've heard it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so, I mean, just, you know, something that I was concerned with was Les Mis, you know.
Yeah.
This is probably totally off topic, but I feel like I had to address
it's
it.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
Isn't
it? I feel like I was, you know, just... I guess I'm guilty of that. Like, I was one of those people probably saying that, more probably from the perspective that I tend to project my knowledge of Christianity and of salvation on the show. Like, you tend to see what you want to see in it, you know, and bring that to light, I guess.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I can see where you're coming from. Like, it doesn't spell out, you know, Christianity, but it is, I guess, it is just a picture. Like, it is a good story. Yeah,
I mean, it, you know, don't get me wrong, I can see where people, you know, can get that view. I mean, when I first saw it, I was like, well, this could, you know, but then I've read through John, I've read some scripture through John and Romans and Acts, and I looked back at the movie and I was like, well, that's, you know, man's works, you know, that's one man trying to do it on his own. He never once, you know, gave his heart to Christ, you know, never once said, you know, Lord, I repent of, you know, I know that you came and died for me, you know, and that, you know, this is not about me. So, I mean, a lot of people get that confused, and I don't want to, you know, criticize them or say that they're, you know, ignorant and they don't know, you know, the gospel. And yeah, I didn't want to passively aggressive think that I was talking about you, Ben.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
Not
Ben,
trying.
Ben, you ignorant. The whole time. I felt it. I was sweating.
No, but I'm kind of with you too. Like, I had the same kind of feelings about it.
Yeah.
When I saw stuff like that on, because it, I mean.
You didn't come see the show, Ian.
Wait.
Oh, you didn't go see the show?
No, he didn't.
What a terrible, terrible
person.
Okay,
he lives like an hour away from me, so.
Yeah, hey, it's a long, Panola is a long drive.
Yeah, it's
especially
long
by yourself in the dark.
That's good. Keep making excuses for me. That's good. I like that.
I'll say that for myself.
Really, the real reason is because I'm a terrible friend, but.
Yeah.
Well, you're not supposed to agree, jerk.
Just kidding.
I was nodding my head. I was like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're terrible.
You. Uh-huh. He gets married and just. Thanks a lot, Gretchen. She's going to listen to this and be like, I never liked Hayden. He is ignorant.
Listen. No, she doesn't listen. Are you kidding me? I have to make her listen. But I kind of had the same feelings about the movie.
Yeah.
I did see that, and I was in it. So I know the story.
You were in the movie?
I wasn't in the movie. I was in the show.
I was like, he was in the movie? Wow. We gotta
watch
it.
He didn't see me.
He was hiding behind Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, that's right. Every scene I had was behind him, and he's just so large. But I kind of had the same feelings because I saw a lot of the same comments and stuff on Facebook. And but the comments that I saw weren't they were about the author. Like, man, he did such a good job of doing this. And I was just like, that's not what he did. He didn't. You are, like you said, like you, these people are communicating their thoughts and beliefs and relating them to something that resembles what they believe.
Yeah.
And saying that the person, that's what bothered me, was they were saying that the person who wrote the story intended it to relate to the things that they believe. And, you know, there are, like he was a Catholic priest and stuff like that. There's some things that you could tie into religion, but he wrote a redemption story.
Mm-hmm.
And the redemption, any redemption story, redemption is such a part of what we believe as Christians, and it's so vital to what we believe as Christians, that obviously you're going to see kind of a mirror image of what Christians believe in Christianity and, you know, Jesus' sacrifice and all that good stuff. So that's what bugged me, was people deliberately saying that, you know, this guy wrote it for that reason. And I was like, he didn't write it for that reason. That's great that you see that, and we can communicate and use that show and that movie to communicate those thoughts and feelings and ideals. But that's not why he wrote it. He wrote a redemption story, and it's a good redemption story. And
I'm guilty of that a lot, because it's the literary critic in me that does that, because all my classes in school, like, that's pretty much what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Is, like, read a book and then
analyze
it. Just make it mean whatever you want it to mean. And, like, I'm really, really good at that. So, like, I mean, I'm not bragging. I'm just saying, like, I can read a
book.
This book
is not about Nazis. There's a swastika on the cover.
Yeah. Yeah, I can read a book. I mean, I could, you know, read a book about dirt. And make it have some kind of big existential meaning.
Oh, sorry, this is off. Are you done?
Which dirt does. So.
Have you seen that Swiffer commercial with the old people.
The old people dancing.
And the guy goes, he goes, I don't clean. I make dirt. That just makes me laugh so hard every time I see it. Because I'm like, that's me. That's yeah. I don't clean. I make dirt. I spread it about.
That was a sweet commercial.
My favorite commercial would have to be the Snicker commercials. Always get me. Have y'all seen?
Yeah, with the you talking about the ones with the like when they have someone there,
the actors like Robin Williams.
Have oh yeah, that yeah, yeah.
That's probably my favorite one.
Was it Joe Pesci?
Yeah, Joe Pesci.
Yeah,
from Home Alone.
Yeah, that was funny.
Oh man.
Oh. Those are good commercials.
Those are great commercials. I could do a career. You know, if I just did commercials, I'd be happy.
I mean, there's people who do that.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, you make one major commercial, like Snickers commercial.
Mm.
That Snickers commercial runs for, I don't know. Usually they run for about 6 months, something like that, a season.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then they retire it, but they don't retire it. They put it in a vault.
Mm-hmm.
And or like a vault of commercials, and then they might use it later on, and sometimes they use them, they just move them from daytime to late night and stuff like that. So they do, a lot of different people do a lot of different stuff with them, but if you do one commercial like that, you get residuals every time that commercial is aired, every time they pay to have it put on a spot or whatever, every time they use it, you get paid.
That's really cool.
Like, yeah, there's people.
It's not like a one-time.
I mean, some of them are, but some contracts like the Snickers and stuff like that, you can work with them. Like, I'm sure, Robin Williams or something like that, they get residuals from commercials and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome.
That would be really cool. I never thought of it like that. I thought that, you would just get paid for that one time. They'd be like, all right, thanks. Here's, see you later.
Yeah.
But Hayden just found his calling.
Yeah. I'm going to be on the next commercial.
Seriously, there's commercial actors. Like, little.
He's going to be the next Kirby baby.
No. Okay. I gotta brag on my niece. Okay. Ian, you don't know about Rachel because you've been gone married, but
been gone, meaning I live in Midtown now.
my sister, last year or the last summer had a baby girl, and she's beautiful. She Aww. Could be the next Gerber baby. Kid you not. She's one now, and we've been watching her for the past 2 days, and she's walking, and I feel like I brag about her so much, and I talk to her, talk about people. Not about people. I talk to people about her. Yeah. I talk about people to her. Like,
I don't think she gets it, but like Rachel. I think something gets through.
Rachel, terrible. These people are so ignorant.
Ignorant.
But she's beautiful. She's God's gift, and I'm one happy uncle. And that's awesome. You,
I'm about to be an uncle. Sorry,
you're about to be an uncle.
I am.
Really?
Yeah.
That's exciting. We'll who's?
Keep continue.
Okay. Curiosity got the best of me. Who's having a baby? But yeah, she was walking around, and she's talking, and you can't understand a word she's saying. She's baby language, mm-hmm. But she loves
can understand baby language.
You can.
I have a degree in it.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm gonna have to bring her by sometime.
It's pretty awesome.
But her favorite commercial would be the banana song, that the Minions do from Despicable Me 2. Yeah, they go ba 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 ba.
Yeah,
she'll walk around, she'll go ba 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 ba. So it's adorable.
That's awesome.
She's probably the coolest baby I've ever hung out with.
Hang out with a lot of babies.
Yeah, how many babies you hang out with?
I told her that today. I was like, that's my new hobby now. I hang out with people's babies.
With babies.
Well, you do work with kids.
Yeah you do.
Mr. Hayden.
Shut up.
But now my sister-in-law, Sarah, is about to have a kid. She's about to pop sometime this week, probably.
Wow, that's exciting.
But at the beginning of this week, I didn't see it lasting throughout the week. I thought it was going to be this week.
Is she having a boy or a girl?
A girl, I believe. Yeah, girl.
Man, everybody's having girls.
Why would I, why did I think about that? The kid's name's Lydia. Why would Lydia. It be a boy? yeah, so it's a girl.
Man, everybody's having girls. Like, everybody that I know is having a girl. I'm just like, come on now. Hop out a boy.
Oh, man.
Make it happen, people. Y'all can edit that part out too.
I don't think so.
Gonna have to have me censored. That'd be pretty funny.
Just like, a long beat.
Baby Megan.
People would be like, oh, Hayden's on here? I'm going to listen. Oh, no. He's been censored.
Oh, hey, Hayden. Yeah, I can say this. We're writing it. Oh, my wife's calling me again. I will call her and just.
Gosh, Gretchen.
I know, right? We're writing a screenplay, Ben and I.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I told you about this.
If you did, I've forgotten. I'm sorry.
Which one did you tell them about? Because we're technically writing two.
Oh, are y'all writing? Y'all are writing two screenplays?
Yes, technically. One is a documentary. So I don't know if you'd call that a screenplay.
Yeah, I told you about this when you came over after Les Mis.
The documentary called Shut Up, I'm Serious?
No.
You didn't tell him about that one? You told him about the other one?
I told him about the other one.
Okay, we're writing another.
This must be urgent.
I don't think she realizes that we're recording. We're writing another one. The working title is...
Shut Up, I'm Not Serious.
Shut Up, I was kidding. No, it's the working title is to Soothe the Mind. But it's actually really cool, and you should be a part of it.
Just saying. I would definitely, you know.
It's turning out to be kind of cool. I really haven't worked on it recently.
Well, you know, like.
I was going to say, I made a couple of edits like 2 weeks ago, and that was the last time
I
touched it.
I was telling Ben this when I came over. We were talking about writing and how I've been writing by myself, and it sucks because I get up on the screen. You know, I have this, app on my computer, where I can, like, it's for professional screenwriters, or, mm-hmm. you can write like for theater or for, like, screenwriting. And so I get on there and I'm just like, I have so many ideas and nothing happens. I just look at the screen. I'm like, that'd be so cool. I should write that down. No, I'm not going to write that down. I'm just too lazy, and I need help with, other writers. If I could get together with, I'm sitting with two writers right now. I could get together with and write.
Where? Did someone come in?
Hey, guys.
I'm bad about writing in my head and then never writing it down.
That's my problem.
That's what I've been doing for the last 2 weeks. Yeah.
I think that's every young writer's problem. Yeah. He has all the great ideas up here, but nothing on paper.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been my problem with this thing is I'm like, oh, that's really good. I got to remember to write that down. And then
it's very tedious. You got to take a lot of time, and a lot of time is something that, we don't have.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we're old.
Yeah.
Hence the reason why I haven't seen you in like a year.
Yeah.
But yeah, you should definitely be a part of it. And what program do you use? Because I've been using one too.
It's called, it's
It'd
like,
be funny if it was the same one.
I think it's something like Scritz. Like it's like, it's spelled really weird.
Celtics.
Yes.
That's
Celtics.
The same one
Celtics.
I use.
Celtics.
Add him to the account so he can read the script.
Yeah, we should.
Dude,
well, I think my trial's up
should.
For that thing though.
That one? Right there?
Yes. That one right there.
Sweet.
Yep. Didn't you have to pay like, how much do you have to pay for that app?
$10 for the phone app.
Yep.
But the computer is free, right?
Yeah, for
yeah, the computer is free. I got it on the computer. It's free. Yeah. But yeah, I've started, writing. I was like, well, I may not be able to write, a screenwrite, but maybe do a play. And
I wanted to write a play too.
Yeah, and play is just as hard as as screenwriting because you're just
I
like
bet it's probably harder.
It probably is
because not only do you have to write dialogue, but you have to write.
Like what's
projective
happening?
Projective dialogue, and you have to. There's certain elements you can do on screen that you can't do, like to tell the story that you can't do. Like you can't do montages and stuff like that.
Yeah.
In a play, like.
Yeah.
So like that, man. That would be kind of tough.
I sit in my room and like I'm defeated. I'm just like I give up. I give up.
Have you ever read? Have you seen Our Town?
I've heard of it, but I haven't seen.
You should like check it out at the library or something. Or you could probably download it online somewhere for free, but it's a really great play and it would like help as far as like, I'm a believer, like you can only put out what you're putting in.
Mm-hmm.
And like my teachers that were writers and stuff would always be like, you can't write if you're not reading.
Right.
Yep.
And, So, like, that's really good. It's a really good show.
Yeah.
It's got great dialogue and everything. And it's really cool because they actually, it's a very minimalist, minimalistic play to where they didn't have a whole lot of props and stuff. Like, they would have, like, tables and chairs and, like, set pieces. But when it come to actual props, it was all pantomime.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if, like, a dude is sitting there in the morning reading his paper, he's not holding anything. He's just acting like he's holding the paper and reading it.
That's right. Cool.
Yeah, and, like, the whole thing is budget. Like that. Like, in one scene, the mom is peeling potatoes, and she's holding nothing. And there's no bowl.
So it's all just acting.
Yeah, it's all just acting. And she's but it's cool because it highlights their acting skills because and it pulls you in to the show because it's you start to notice about halfway through the way your brain automatically inserts whatever it is that they're supposed to be doing.
Right.
Almost to the point to where you don't even realize it's not there. Like, it's crazy. Like, wow. If the dude's supposed to be reading a paper, you start to see a paper there, and wow. There's nothing there. Like, it's just your brain fills in the gaps, and it's like, well, the only, you know, logical explanation to what they're doing right now is peeling potatoes, you know?
That's awesome.
And that yeah, is crazy.
So it really just kind of pulls you into the story, and, like, it helps you engage.
Yeah.
You know, I've done a lot of reading from, like, I've, you know, read books about, like, writing plays. And this author wrote, you know, he said, first, before you write anything, you should just write a scene with no dialogue. Just pretty much, you know, like pantomime. Like, no dialogue at all. And just write out a scene that happens. You know, it can be a comedy. You know, it can be dramatic. It can be whatever you want it to be. And just not write dialogue and let dialogue come later. Because dialogue is probably the hardest thing
you
can ever try and write. I mean, you can plan great scenes and great, you know.
I stink at dialogue.
Yeah. I mean, you have it all in your head and you're like, this would sound great on paper.
Yeah.
But see, then you read it and you're just like, oh, this is stupid.
That's the only thing that has really come easy to me is writing dialogue.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Everything else really is really hard.
You do dialogue really well, and, like, there's not much else besides dialogue.
Yeah, like, I just write dialogue.
You're the dialogue guy.
No, like, that's where I really wanted him to come help me, and, like, where you would come in is because I can write dialogue all day long. Like, I'm good at having conversations. I love to talk. That's why we have a podcast.
Yeah.
That's all we do. So, like, I'm good with talking. Talking solid. But when it comes to, I have a vision in my head of what I want it to look like, but how to put that on a paper, what it looks like, is so hard for me to do. I can't do it. But when it comes to what I want to say on the paper, all day long, I'm golden. But
I think I found my missing link.
I think the key to that, where we just haven't had the time or really talked about it much, because I was in Les Mis and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which Hayden hated.
I really did. I was like a jealous girlfriend. I was like, oh, going to Les Mis, are we?
Who is this Les Mis?
Oh, my gosh.
But what was I saying?
I can't wait to hear this podcast.
We need to, like, collectively, you know, and it's not going to happen if we try to all get together because this took like a year and a half. But, you know, there's Skype and there's, you know, phones and
that
stuff
is
like
true.
That. And we need
some
to,
people
like,
need to answer their phones. Oh. Ben.
Guilty. Guilty.
I was the only person that laughed at that. That was kind of awkward. I was like, no.
I was laughing on the inside. I was just like, oh.
Anyways, guys.
I've given up on Ian. I don't call him anymore. I'm just like, go live your life with your wife and dog.
Horrible. But I think the key to that, to filling in those pieces, will
is
be
answering
to,
the phone.
Talking about it. Yeah. Like, because we can't, you know, those of us that aren't good at dialogue can't know what the scene is without talking to you first and seeing what you're thinking.
Yeah.
And then we can write it out and then add our own pieces, and then we can't tell you what we're thinking for dialogue unless we talk about it.
Yeah. And I mean, you made a valid point. You know, there is Skype and, you know, texting and, you know, calling. And so, I mean, you know, this is possible if we're, you know, disciplined in doing it. And that's where, you know, I get convicted sometimes, and when I'm having my quiet time, I'm all talk sometimes. Like I'm just all talk and no action. And as believers, that's not, we're supposed to, be, hearer of the word, hearers of the word, and also, and also doers, And I think in our line of work, or and anything that we do, is not just to be hearers of the word and just say, oh wow, that was really great, and not apply it to our lives and not use it to glorify God. Because I mean, anything that I do, I want it to be to glorify Christ, and I know that that's y'all's heart as well, is to glorify Christ through everything that you do and to promote to promote Him. And so with this acting career, it's very difficult, and because a lot of actors the goal is to promote yourself, advertise yourself, say how great you are in this scene and how great you are in this play. And that's where I struggle. I'm just being honest, struggling. And I thank God every day for my parents, parents that, remind me that I would not be in this show if it wasn't for the one who created me. You know, I wouldn't be able to do what I do, if it wasn't for Christ and how much, he sacrificed himself for me. And I truly am blessed to have parents that remind me of that daily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but that's just my spill on the whole acting thing. Yeah. It kind of got serious for a minute.
Yeah. I guess because we need to bring this to a close, don't we?
Yeah, pretty quick.
To kind of sum it all up, we kind of followed a few rabbit trails and stuff, but I think it'd be good to reiterate something we haven't really said since the beginning, really, and that is that, something that, we haven't really said since the beginning is one of our biggest desires for this podcast is to have conversations and engage the listeners in conversations and to help you feel like you're a part of our conversations. And so that's why, we haven't really brought this up in a while, but I feel like over the past several episodes, we've kind of strayed from sticking to the topics strictly, but that's okay, because that's one of our goals, is to create just an environment of listening and engaging and
being a part of something like that.
Making you feel like you're in the room with us.
Yeah.
So we hope you're not bored.
Yeah.
If you are, tell us.
What we should do? Which I actually had this thought today, and this is going to have to be the last thing we talk about, because we got to close up shop. But we should do a web series. One episode a month, and not something super difficult. Kind of like a little bit different from what Matt's trying to do, Matt Bosley, which we also need to get with him on that.
Yes.
Because we made promises that we haven't fulfilled yet. Shut up. No, but we should make a web series. And have you guys ever seen Web Therapy?
I have not.
With, what's her name? Phoebe from Friends.
No.
I know her.
I can't remember.
Not her personally, but.
Oh, yeah? You're that tight with
her? I talk to Phoebe every once in a while.
but she made this web series called Web Therapy, and then I think it actually got turned into a network show. But it's pretty, I don't know, it's pretty awesome the way it's set up. She's supposed to be like a therapist who has her sessions through Skype, and so that's how the show's looks.
Formatted.
It just looks, it's just pretty much the whole show is just a split screen with two people on either side, and that's her web series. So, I mean, something kind of basic like that, just so we can kind of hone our writing skills and our just film skills and stuff like that. I think it would be really cool.
Yeah.
To just, we write and film one episode, a month, which I think is pretty doable.
Yeah.
So does this mean I'm on the poser team? am I one of you guys now? Because I've been dreaming for this moment since y'all told me y'all would y'all would have me on the show, which was months. And I kept on dreaming, Lord,
I just want to be a poser.
Which y'all never really. I mean, I've heard a couple of y'all's episodes, but explain to me again what poser means. Like, Ben's explained it to me, but I mean, again, my memory is not the best.
Well, honestly, we called it that because when we started the podcast, we had absolutely no idea what we were doing. So we
still don't know what we're doing.
We still don't know what we're doing. We're making it up as we go. So we essentially are posers.
So y'all are just like, oh, we're just a bunch of posers. Yeah,
it's basically posers. Our way of admitting to our audience that we're figuring it out as we go.
Yeah.
And we don't take ourselves too seriously.
Yeah. So
that's really cool.
Like we do as far as like,
yeah,
this is for real for us.
Yeah.
But as far as the logistics and the details, we know we're not all that.
Yeah.
I got you. So my question is, am I a poser?
Would you like to be, sir?
I would love to be a poser.
But absolutely.
Oh,
this is the first episode. We've had a few episodes. Wait, are you taking it back? We've never actually said this person is now a part of the poser brand. But like,
yeah,
we had episodes.
I think you're the first person that wants to be.
Hey. Am I the one and only? I told
like
you
Josh
I was
Josh and Ben, or no, Josh, you're Ben. Josh and Ryan and.
Well, I would, you know, I would gladly love to be with you guys.
Absolutely.
So.
Welcome to the poser internet.
Yay!
Brand, or the poser. Yeah. Yeah, that thing.
That's awesome. How much am I getting paid? I'm just kidding.
A hug and a smile.
A hug and a smile is worth it to me, buddy.
I'm the hug, he's the smile.
Yeah.
Hey, win-win.
Look at that.
see my smile now?
Oh, man.
Hayden, we're going to put you on the spot.
Yep.
Okay.
We do this with all our guests.
We have a Facebook page.
Do you know what it is?
Is this like a trivia thing? Like, because I do stalk y'all. I just, you know. is it Poser Nation?
No.
That should be.
Since I'm new, I should throw out that idea.
That's our hashtag.
On the Twitter.
It's facebook.com/poserpodcast.
Yep. That was a slash.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Hey, I guess if I'm going to be a new poser, I need to know that.
That's right. This is all essential information. We have a Twitter. Do you know what our Twitter name is? Our Twitter handle?
I don't tweet, so I don't know that. But I do follow you on Instagram. It's at Poser Podcast.
How did you do that?
I read Ben's mind. I didn't know I could do that.
Thinking about dinner.
I thought it was just blank.
You want to take the next one?
Sure. We have an email.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what that might be?
Let me try and read your mind. Poserpodcast@gmail.com.
That's
and
amazing.
We have a winner.
Yay, I'm hired.
He's got ESPN.
Mom, I'm not a loser.
No,
I'm
you're like more of a loser now. Yeah. Your cool cred went down.
And we do have a YouTube.
Y'all are on YouTube now?
Yeah, bro. Did you move up?
No,
my computer crashed when I tried to.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I did see y'all's snazzy pictures that y'all post up on Facebook.
Yeah, which we need to get on the ball with our.
Was that your work, Ben?
Guest pictures.
Yes.
Those were. I should have known.
Thanks, man.
Yep. Which we need.
So again, to reiterate, our email address is poserpodcast@gmail.com. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/poserpodcast.
Twitter.
Yes.
Our Twitter is at poserpodcast.
Instagram.
Our Instagram is at poserpodcast. Vine.
Vine.
Poser
Vine.
Podcast.
Poser Podcast.
I knew that one. I didn't even have to. Y'all didn't even have to.
And
ask me.
YouTube. Poser Podcast. If you want to leave us some feedback or have topic ideas or whatever, please write in.
Yes.
And
rate
us and review us on iTunes.
Please. Please. Please.
Please. Since, you know, I have to say that because I'm new. But, yeah, I think it's a great thing that y'all are doing. And thank y'all for allowing me to be on board.
Absolutely.
Thanks, buddy.
Love you both.
Love you too.
You too, man. Hey, you have to learn the sign off.
Yeah.
All right, what's the sign off?
Repeat after me.
Repeat after me.
Okay. Don't.
Don't.
Stare.
Stare.
At the potato.
At the potato.
Don't stare at the potato.
That's a great sign off.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Oh. I always forget to get down here and press the stop button.